So please turn with me to Joshua chapter 9, please. Joshua chapter 9. Now, I have a preach day with sermon like this somewhere before. I just don't know where it was. If it could have been up in just northern New York, I would check on your sermon audio, and it wasn't there, and so it means I didn't preach it here. So I just redid it. I have gone over it, and it's called Don't Forget to Pray. Don't forget to pray. How many times in our lives do we get so busy that we don't pray? We go to bed and think, man, I didn't have devotions, or I didn't pray today. There are just some nights when that happens to me, and God does not let me fall asleep until I do. Don't forget to pray. Let's start with prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this man, Joshua. Lord, the one you chose just to lead Israel right after Moses died. And Father, help us to learn from some of the things he did and didn't do. But Father, help us not to forget to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, beginning in verse 1, please. Whoops, Joshua 9, 1 through 4. All right, let me read that to you. And it came to pass when all the kings who were on this side of the Jordan, excuse me, in the hills, and in the lowlands, and in all the coasts of the great sea toward Lebanon, or the Hittite, the Amorite, Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard about it, and that they gathered together to fight with Joshua and with Israel, just with one accord. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard just what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they worked craftily and just went and just pretended to be ambassadors. And they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins torn and mended. And so notice here that some nations have gathered, but Gibeon decided, let's make peace. Let's make peace. Verse 4 tells us they worked craftily. And went and just pretended to be ambassadors. And so notice, they worked craftily. Craftily. That word, I forgot to take that off. That word craftily means wily, trickery, subtly, or shrewdly. They had a plan. They saw how Israel had wiped out Ai. Conquered them, that walled city, conquered, burned. And what Gibeon decided, we want to make peace with them before it's too late. See, this was deception. Israel was about to be deceived. And they had no idea. They're about to be deceived. Deception. Deception means, I'm sorry, just what does the word deception mean? It means to trick, to act wily, be subtle or sneaky, cunning, crafty. The Gibeonites were going to deceive the Israelites. They had a plan. The Gibeonites pretended to be what they weren't. Doesn't Satan pose as an angel of light? He does the same thing. He does the same thing. He pretends to be what he isn't. And the Gibeonites were doing exactly that. But this is common during war. We do it. Think about the war in Iraq. Our general set up the end around. He put troops in the middle, and it looked like we were going to charge Iraq right straight in the center. But General, was it Schwarzkopf? He did the end around. He didn't go through the center. He came around the side. But he had troops set up here. That was a deception. And he came around the side. Well, that's kind of what Gibeon's doing here. And that's kind of what the devil does to us as well. They were Gibeonites. They were deceiving. They had the perfect plan. So what did the Gibeonites do? What did they do that was so successful? And why was it successful? Look at verse 4, part B. And they took old sacks on their donkeys. These old wineskins, torn and just mended. The old and patched sandals on their feet. And old garments on themselves. And all the bread of their provisions was dry and just moldy. See, they had a plan. They dressed for the occasion. Old clothes, moldy bread, worn out sandals on their feet. They had thought it through and planned thoroughly. There's nothing the Gibeonites didn't trick them with. They looked the part. They looked the part. Wineskins that were old and patched. If you had new wine, it was in new wineskins because it would burst the old. Clothes that were torn. And were probably dirty as well. Look at verse 6 through 8, please. In Joshua 9, 6 through 8. And notice, they went to Joshua. Just to the camp at Gilgal. And said to him, and to the men of Israel, we have come from a far country. Now therefore, make a covenant with us. Notice, they wanted a covenant. We have come from a far country. We want to make a covenant with you. What is a covenant? A covenant is a league, an alliance, a pledge. A compact, a confederacy. They wanted to be aligned with Israel. They wanted to be aligned with Israel. They wanted peace. They saw just what Israel did to Ai. Or I should say heard. They heard about Jericho. Two walled cities conquered by this nation. We can't defeat them. We better make peace with them. And so they come up with this plan of deception to make a covenant. And then notice what they said too. Let's read verse 7 through 8 here. Then the men of Israel said to the Hivites, perhaps you dwell among us. So how can we make a covenant with you? Verse 8. But they said to Joshua, we are your servants. And what Joshua said to them, who are you and where do you come from? And what notice they said, we are your servants. What is a servant? Well, that word means a slave or subject, a bondman. And notice, we're your servants. We're your slaves. Wow. They must really want peace to say that, right? But again, it's all deception. It's all craft. Craftily working, tricking Israel. Joshua asked them, "Who are you and where are you from?" There in what, verse 8. And then verse 9. Their answer. So they said to him, "From a very far country." Your servants have come. Why? Because of the name of the Lord your God. For we have heard of his fame and all that he did in what, Egypt. And what, notice that we've come from a very far country. Your servants have come. And what, notice again, servants. A very far country. We have heard of the fame of your God and all that he has done. Now that part's true. That part was true. That they had heard. That was a true statement, but that's all that's true here so far. That's all that's true. And that word very far means from a great distance, a just remote place. But it was said with vehemence. In other words, it was done forcefully with conviction. We're from a very far country. With conviction. And to make them believe the lie. Well, Jameson, Fawcett, and what Brown says, excuse me, they were pretended to be actuated by just religious motives in seeking just to be a lot. Just to be a lie, just with his people. We have heard of your God. See, they want a covenant. They want to be allied with Israel. They want peace. They don't want to be conquered. They want to live in peace. Look at verse 10, please, of Joshua 9, please. And 9:10. And all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, just king of Heshbon, to Og, king of Bashan, who was at Ashtaroth. Therefore, our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, "Take provisions with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say to them," notice again, "we are your servants. Now therefore, make a covenant with us." And what, notice again, "we are your servants." Verse 12, "This bread of ours we took hot from our provisions, from our houses, all on the day that we departed to come to you. But now look, see, it is dry and moldy." Verse 13, and "these wineskins which we filled were new. And see, they are torn. And these, our garments and our sandals, have become old because of the very long journey." Notice these Gibeonites had props. What they were just wearing. What they brought. They put forth this picture that we're from a very far country and we are your servants. And Joshua and the princes are deceived. Look at Joshua 9, verse 14. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. There was their failure right there. They did not ask counsel of the Lord. All that took place could have been defeated if they would have asked counsel of the Lord. And that word ask means to inquire, to pray, to get counsel, to request or to seek. God wasn't in their thoughts. They had victory. These people come. They want to be servants. No problem. But they did not ask God. They stayed silent. They made a decision without God's counsel. You know, sometimes we do that too, don't we? Make a decision without praying. Make a decision. Well, it looks right. And this looked right too for the Israelites. It looked right. But it certainly wasn't. We are told to walk by faith, not by sight. They were walking by sight. They saw this picture. Old clothes, old sandals, wineskins, bread. From a very far country, they're our servants. It looked too good to be true, didn't it? And it usually is. Notice that they left God out of the decision. They left God out of the decision. Some people today leave God out of their decision making. Some people get married, never to ask God, is this the person for me? And they don't find out till later what that person really is, who that person really is. They never ask God about it. And what covenant is made. Joshua 9:15, verse 15. So what Joshua made peace with them and just made a covenant with them and to let them live. And the rulers of the congregation swore to them. So they made a covenant. They made an agreement to be at peace with them. And they were. But you know, the truth always comes out. Peace there means welfare, prosperity, tranquility. That's what they wanted. That's what they got. But 3 days later, the truth is learned. The truth comes to the surface. Verse 16, please. So when it happened at the end of what 3 days after they made a covenant with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors who dwelt near them. Joshua found the truth. They found the truth. And then they did become slaves. Forced labor. They became. But they were still alive. So let me ask you, application, do you make mistakes? Yeah, we do, don't we? We make mistakes. We all do. How could Joshua have avoided this mistake? Simply by asking counsel of the Lord. By praying. He had no communication with the Lord about this decision. Not one. How can we avoid mistakes? The same way. By asking counsel of the Lord. And we have a big decision coming up. When this new man comes. A big decision. How much prayer will we put into it? How much prayer will we give it? Or will we just let the leadership do it? Or will we just let Grace Advance do it? We need to pray. We need to pray. Every day about this issue. Every day we need to pray. It's that important for us. Quickly, let's look at a time just when Joshua did pray. It's in the next chapter. Look at Joshua chapter 10. And let's jump to verse 12. We'll just read verse 12 here. Then what Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon." So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. And so notice verse 12. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord. Joshua asked God. Joshua prayed. Whoops, it didn't go. And who did he pray to? The Lord. And just what did he pray? Well, yeah, sorry. Back up. Spoke means to commune, to talk, to utter, to speak. Joshua communed with God that day. Maybe he thought, "I'm not going to make that mistake again. I'm going to talk to the Lord. No more mistakes. I got to talk to my God about everything. Everything." And Joshua spoke to the Lord. And notice what he said. "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon." That's what he asked for. That's what he commanded. Look at verse 13. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still. So in the midst of what heaven, and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. Verse 14, "And there had been no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel." The sun stood still. And the moon stopped. Wow. Wow. All because Joshua spoke to the Lord. The sun stood still and the moon stopped. Awesome. So the sun stood still just in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like that before it or after it. That was the only time it happened. That the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. What would have happened if Joshua didn't pray? Well, what would have happened? We don't know. It doesn't tell us, right? But he sought the Lord. Joshua communed with God that day. And that miracle took place. That sun and moon stayed where it was. And so that they could continue to fight. The Lord fought for Israel. Joshua spoke to the Lord in the midst of battle, and God gave great, great victory. And we're always in the midst of battle, spiritually speaking. We have an enemy who is like a just roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Ephesians 6 tells us to pray. 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 That's what gives us the victory. If Joshua would have prayed back in what Joshua 9, they would have known the truth. But they did not inquire of the Lord. They made the decision by themselves. Come on. Okay. Whoops. All right. Yeah. How often do you pray? Let's think about it. At least once a day? Once a week? Once a week? Whenever you feel like it? Or never? One of my favorite verses, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. And that word ceasing, whenever needed. Pray. We need to sense our need for prayer. Whoop, we just lost the TVs there, Bob. We need to pray. Pray without ceasing. No matter how big the decision, how small the decision, we should be praying. Praying. Yeah, how many of us are deceived because we don't pray? Think about buying a car. Man, there's a lot of bad cars out there, right? When you make that decision, are you praying? Is that the car for me, Lord? Don't forget to pray. Let's pray. And Father, thank you for Joshua. For this man truly was a man of God, but at this point in time, he did not inquire of you. But Lord, it appears that he did later. He didn't forget that lesson. And Lord, you gave him a great victory that day. The sun and moon stood still. And they were able to defeat their enemy. We have an enemy. How do we defeat him? But through walking with you in prayer. Lord, help us not to forget to pray. And now, Lord, as we have our meeting, may you lead and direct us, Lord. Help us to focus on it. And Lord, to just consistently, Lord, pray about it. In Jesus' name. Amen.